Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order at the meeting of the Board of Assessment Appeals at 9:05 a.m. Present is myself, Judy Sefcak, Joe Martino, President of the Board of Aldermen, and Walter Mayhew, our City Treasurer. We're all set. Do you guys want to say the pledge?
It's up to you.
Let's do it quick. Up, up, quick pledge. One, two, three.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the nation of
God. Sorry, had a Joe Biden moment there. All right. That's just a little joke. All right. We're ready for the first person. Let them in, Betsy. Our co-host, I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. Don't get in trouble.
No, I'm trying. I don't think this is this Albert?
He's on at 10:30.
Yeah, Albert's in a rush. I think you need to bump him out, co-host. Albert, is that you, Maldonado?
His audio's connected. Audio's connecting.
Okay, he's gone. Try the other one. The 5099. Okay. Hopefully that's shoving. I need to get Albert a clock.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Charlene.
Yes, speaking.
Charlene McAvoy.
Yes, speaking.
Hi, Charlene. This is Judy Sefcak.
Good morning.
And I'm the chairman of the tax board, and we've got Walt Mayhew here, our treasurer for the city of Derby, and we've got Joe DiMartino here, president of our board of aldermen, and we are the Board of Assessment Appeals. And we've got you down here for three properties, the Indian Avenue lot, the home at 198 yes. Emmett, and the home at 200 Emmett.
Yes.
Cool. Would you then like to speak to us about, I see that you're wanting a small, not much, but a bit of a discount on each of them over the current. I think you want a 30% to go down on the lot, 5% on the 198, and 4% on the 200. So do you want to go in whatever order you choose? Just let us know which one you're talking about. And we have your information.
Yes. Why don't we start with the Indian Avenue lot first?
Perfect.
Yeah, they increased it from $7,500 to $7,910.
Okay.
I gather they think now I can get $11,300 for it. But this situation has deteriorated in the past year because the person who took over 55 Indian Avenue has turned that lot into a junkyard. I believe you've seen the photographs that I submitted?
Yep.
Yes?
Yes. Yeah, we've seen everything. Yeah, we just like to hear your own words.
Well,
yeah, okay.
Yes, well, that's the problem. I mean, you know, junk cars have been towed to the property and parked on the front lawn. They're completely immobilized because tires are in the front seat of the car. So I don't think those cars are going anyplace in the near future. And then the backyard, I took photographs from the lot, and the backyard is also loaded with junk. So certainly if you're arguing that the assessment has increased, that can't be the case because the condition on that 55 Indian Avenue property is far worse than it was before. I don't see any effort on anyone's part to clean up the mess. Surely that people passing by from the street can notice these junk cars parked on the front lawn.
Have you reported them to the blight officers, Charlene?
I am frustrated with the city, Ms. Swizik, because I've reported other problems to the city and nothing's been done. This gentleman at 55 Indian Avenue also has been burning outside. periodically. And at one point I called and the fire marshal said he could get away with it, even though this burning was taking place after dark, well into past midnight. So after a while, you get a little frustrated with the city, because I understand there's no zoning enforcement officer on board these days. Is that true?
The alderman just made a arrangement, I believe, to have someone who is also serving up in Bethany serve part-time in that capacity. So I would definitely contact the mayor's office, because those cars, I believe, are a zoning violation.
Well, I contacted the mayor, had to contact the mayor's office about the lighting situation at 194. I believe that's in the notes I sent to you. Mm-hmm. And that took 3 months to resolve, because there was no action, even when my attorney got involved trying to get those lights out of my bedroom. And I was told by the neighbor that the city said it was okay, but I had to contact Mr. Bakalik at the mayor's office and point out to him the zoning regulations, which forbid that kind of lighting. So anytime a complaint is made to the city, it seems to be an uphill battle to get any action. When people complain about the McAvoy property on Indian Avenue a few years back, and you have that letter from Dr. Danzer there, the city was right up there. Mr. Sarmiento was quite vigorous in claiming that a wooded lot is a blight, which is fantastic. But this debris that's around here, that's not a blight. So one has to wonder what's really going on in the city here, whose side the city is really on, when things that are not a blight are declared to be so and pursued vigorously, and visible deterioration of a neighboring property nothing is done about. And that's not something that's concealed in the backyard. That's something that's right out in the front lawn. So I'm very vexed with the way the city's been operating on these issues.
I will contact Andy Cota on Monday and have him go up to that property and take a look.
Okay.
Well, Andy Cota has been no friend to the McAvoys. He claimed that there was a poison ivy or poison oak on the Indian Avenue property as an excuse for getting the foliage cut down. However, Dr. Danzer, who is an expert on these issues, pointed out in that letter, I believe I sent you a copy, that there's no such thing on that property. In fact, those plants don't even grow in the eastern part of the United States. So I have to question Andy Cota's credibility as an enforcer of zoning regulations. In my experience, he has not been an accurate agent of the city in addressing these issues.
I will. He's the blight officer, so I will send him up there. I'll take a ride up there. I'm on the blight committee, and I'll get going on that.
Okay, that'd be great, Jeff.
This is Mr. DiMartino, correct, Mr. DiMartino?
Correct.
Okay.
All righty.
I think we're running out of time here, Ms. Swiezik. Do you want me to address the other issues, or what would you like me to talk about here?
Let me see. How do we have that set up? I lost my theme. Or loading everything. So, you only have till 9:20. You have 7 more minutes. So, let's charge ahead, because we've got that down. I think that's very clear for us. So let's go to...
Well, if someone would be interested in buying this lot, which, of course, is challenged geographically because of the slope. It slopes away from the street. So one would have to put up 2 retaining walls, as most properties do in that area. So it would be a challenge. It's a challenging property to sell anyway. And that's even made more challenging by violations in neighboring properties.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, you're not, unless a person is sight impaired, they're not going to come up and build a new house on a lot next to a property that has debris on it.
Yep. Okay, so what do we got on 198?
That's not realistic. And, well, you want to talk about 198 now?
Yeah, I want to get them all in. I want to give you a chance to address it.
Okay, sure. All right, well, 198, you have the material I sent you there. That also is next to a neighbor now who has determined that there's the lights I explained to you was a major issue with respect to that property. They insisted to me that the city, that was okay for them to have lights. Someone in the city, they alleged, said those lights were okay. It's okay to shine lights apparently in a neighbor's bedroom, or shine a light so the front of the house is hit by light from dawn till dusk, or dusk till dawn. I don't know who in the city made that assertion, but it ran contrary to the zoning regulations, which we had to point out to Mr. Bakalik to get some action. And then I was told by the sister of that neighbor that I should move if I didn't like it.
Well,
the McAvoys have been in Derby for over 150 years, and these people just came from Bosnia a few years ago. I don't think I need to be told what the laws are from people who can barely speak English, and also misstate what the rules are. That was rather insulting to me. And then it took months to get this resolved. It should have been resolved in a matter of a week or so. And the reason the lights were put up, by the way, was because a car was stolen from their house on the street. What did that have to do with me? Shining a light on my house is not going to resolve your car problems. Apparently, the father, the owner, or one of the owners of the house, left the keys in the car.
Right.
And it was stolen in daytime, not at night, in daytime.
Yeah,
so
if
you leave keys in the car, it's an invitation to someone to steal your car. And it has nothing to do with me. Now, the McAvoys have been on that property since 1948. That house has been there since 1948. And we had prior neighbors to these people. No one ever alleged that we were thieves or something was going to go on untoward because we were neighbors there. So putting those lights on was simply an outrage. And other things, you see that the narrative I gave you, there's a car repair shop that runs in their garage periodically. Tomatoes are grown on the front lawn. A tractor trailer parks periodically where it's repaired in front of the house. I mean, and they just put a building up in the backyard that violates the zoning regulations because not far enough from the property line. So, you know, this is lawlessness. Lawlessness.
Yeah. Yep.
And nothing is done about it.
Well, I see
If you do complain, it's going to be a month-long ordeal back and forth trying to get something resolved. Now, in addition to that, let me just speak. My time is running out, so I'm not going to hold you folks up much longer, because we do have these other properties to talk about. But the other atrocity came when UI and their agent came and cut down a very large tree at the corner of 190 Emmett Avenue, which denuded this area of a tree that had been there for years and years, apparently to clear their wires. And then the debris is left on the front lawn of 194 and 190 Emmett Avenue. So are they going to rot forever? Because these trees are quite large. I'm surprised the property owners didn't insist on that being removed. In addition, in front of 194, or rather 190 Emmett Avenue, the city property is blocked by these large trees, the remains of the trees that were cut down. So why didn't the city insist that, if you're going to do this cutting, that any debris needs to be moved away? And that's the same is true below my houses on Emmett Avenue heading north, because on the Route 8 side, they did some cutting there, also left debris on the ground, it's just lying there. I mean, I noticed this increased dumping of garbage in the past few weeks. No wonder people dump around here. They figure it's a dumping ground, because it looks like a dumping ground.
Yeah,
the city should insist that UI come back, or its agent come back, and pick up these dead trees that they've cut and remove them and clean up this neighborhood. I mean, how can you offer property to someone and say, well, this is a neighborhood you'd want to move into when you have all this debris lying around?
So question.
I mean, really these houses, let me just say one more thing before I let you, I know we're running past time here, but let me just say one more thing. These houses are challenging in any case. They're on a high, steep grade, at least the 198 one is. So you have 14 steps to the first landing and 6 steps to the door. You better be a pretty hardy and agile person to, buy this house. It also has no garage, and there's no hope of putting a garage or a driveway in, because on one side where the bank is, the sewer runs, and the other side is gas.
Yep.
So what you see is what you get there. These houses were built in the 1940s when, you know, my parents were a lot younger, and, you know, there wasn't that many cars, so you didn't think about garages and driveways, but now, of course, that's an issue people look at. The 200 property is not as challenging height-wise, but there is a bank in front of the yard. There's steps up to the landing, and then more steps to the backyard. One-car garage only, and only one parking space in front of the house. So these houses would be a challenge to sell, a challenge, and I understand that. So you have to... You have to be realistic, let's put it that way.
Right. One thing to note, I'm noting on yours, I'm not sure what the reason is, but on both your 198 Emmett and your 200 Emmett, your reevaluation didn't go up. They kept you at the same.
Right. Well,
it
should have gone down because the neighborhood went down. The neighborhood is not as good looking as it was even 6 months ago.
Okay, good. Okay, so that
it's bad.
So the neighborhood
needs to be addressed.
Gotcha.
You know, I mean, you know, why would the city allow this debris to lie there on city property. I don't understand that. Or not insist that it be cleaned up by the people who left it there in the first place. And the neighbors who have this, these logs or whatever they are on the front lawn at 190 and 194 should be told to clean it up.
Gotcha. Maybe Joe, when he's
and you also notice, I sent you some scholarly articles. I'm sure you don't have time to read all this material, but it does tell you that when a neighborhood is denuded of trees, property values go down.
Yep.
That's a fact.
That's right. I got the same issue over in my neighborhood.
The city is not helping its cause here. Let's put it that way.
I gotcha. Anything else you want to add for 200, Emmett? We are out of time, but is it pretty much the same? Anything
yes, you have the written narrative there, okay, yep. that I've told yep. you about. And these houses, I'm not improving these houses, okay?
Okay.
They're just as is. So no one's going to come in and get a new kitchen or any kind of new a deck or a new basement or something. This is just a holding operation.
Okay.
And I hope the city will cooperate with cleaning up this mess.
All right, sounds
all
good.
The
so that's, so this, many of the same issues on both houses, right? Can we just say that?
Yes.
Okay.
Except that 198 has more is more of a challenge in terms of the house itself, given its steep location. 200
okay.
is less steep.
All
but
right.
if you're physically challenged or you're old, you're not going to want to buy these houses. You're going to pass.
I would guess. All right. Well, thank you, Charlene, very much. I'm sorry we didn't have a little more time. But I think
that's all right.
with what you've included and your narrative, I think it's very clear. We'll reach a decision towards the end of the month, and we'll let you know, okay?
Okay, thanks very much, Mrs. Swezik.
We'll hold Joe DiMartino to going over there and taking a look at the blight, all right?
Okay, I'd be happy to give him a tour.
Okay,
so you can let me know when he's coming.
Yeah, I heard it, yep.
There's a tour. Will there be refreshments?
I can arrange it. I can arrange it.
Never heard
bitter tea, probably, when you take a look at this mess.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in.
All right, thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye. How are you doing today, sir?
All right.
Okay, so this is Judy Sefcik. I'm the chairman of the tax board. We've got Walter Mayhew here, the city treasurer, and we've got Joe DiMartino here, president of the Board of Aldermen, and we're the Assessment Appeals Board. And we've got you down for 7880 Caroline Street.
Yeah.
Multifamily, it was original appraisal, last time was 129. It's been reevaluated in 151 and a half, which is a 17% increase. And you're asking us to go down to 90,050, which would be a 30% decrease over the original appraisal. Does that sum it up pretty well?
You're going to have to repeat them numbers to me. You know, this whole process is a joke.
Okay. Your appraisal from last time we did appraisals, I think 2015, and I'm talking appraisals, not assessments, appraisals, was $129,000. Okay?
Okay. All I have in front of me are the assessed values. I have no idea what the original appraisal numbers. Nobody told me I needed them.
No, you don't.
Just
multiply by 0.7 and you got them. So, okay. So let's go this route. So over your original assessment, the Tyler is reevaluated your property, raised it by 17%. And you're saying it should, instead of gone up, it should have gone down about 30%. So what?
Okay, first of all, this form they gave me, this whole process with Tyler just stunk. I sent them information on January 15th that they never took into consideration. I know they never took into consideration because she tried to blame me for associating the pictures I sent to them to the wrong parcel number. And I've got the emails to prove I sent it to them referencing the correct parcel number. Now, this form that I ended up filling out, it was on the last day that you guys could take the info into City Hall. I had to walk over there and hand drop it in the drop box. And then the following Monday, Lauren called me and told me there was a form I had to fill out. So when I went over, I ran over there because it was already, I think, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but I was running around that Monday. And by the time I got over there, so I had no documentation with me. And she handed me a form, and I was going by memory at that point. So when I put down Appellate's estimate of value, I put down $90,050. Yep. That was a mistake. I was using the old assessed value. I should have put down $90,300, which was the old assessed value. Now, I don't know based on, it just says estimate of value. It doesn't say retail value or full value or assessed value on this form I had to fill out at the last minute. So the number I put down there, like I said, I'm basing everything off assessed values here.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree with you, Mr. Trumpka. I hate it because some people put the assessed in there, some people put the appraised in there because it doesn't specify. That would be a great thing for us to change before the next round happens of these. So we're looking at $90,300 then.
Well, that as the assessment, yeah.
For assessment, and, okay.
Right. So, okay.
So hang on,
basically, that's no change. Not that I'm saying it went down 30%. I'm saying no change from the assessed value of 5 years ago.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that would work out to 129. Okay, that's much better. Thank you. And I apologize for that. That's just the form isn't very clear on that. I've been having to guess a couple times myself. So you would like no change. And could you just give us a real quick, we have all the pictures, everything, but just in your own words, a real quick statement of why it should not change.
Well, based on the previous assessment from however many years ago, whomever did it, and I know I was before the tax board then, and we were discussing the property inside. And at that point, and it's still the case that my upper floor, if I don't know what pictures you have other than mine there that you have access to, but if you stand in front of my house and you look at the house, it's almost like two houses. The side lower on Caroline Street Hill is four stories high. The side of the house up the hill is two stories high, and those two stories are at the middle floor level. So if you walk in my front door where that arch door is, you're really walking in the second floor of the house, even though you're walking in first floor over there. So if you're looking at the arch door, that's really at what I consider my first floor, which is really the second floor, which is above my basement apartment. Now, on that side of the house, the tall side of the house, which is four stories, the first floor is actually the basement apartment, 78 Caroline. The second and third floors, second floor is my living room area. The third floor is my kitchen and dining room area. Mm-hmm. And the upper floor is basically just used for storage. I don't live up there. And that was noted in the letter. Let's see. Third paragraph of the letter that I dropped off, we discussed the square footage. I informed her, you know, the third floor was unfinished. Now, I'm saying third floor in the letter here. That's my third floor, not the third floor of the house, because the basement apartment is actually the first floor. It's not really a full basement. It's a semi-basement. Two walls are, you know, they're accessible to the outside. I'm terraced into the hill. So the rear wall and the back side wall, they're underground, and the doorway and the front wall are above ground. So I consider that the first floor of the house. So what we're talking about there, what I'm calling my third floor in the third paragraph of that letter, is basically my attic area. And that's being redone little by little. I still don't use it because, frankly, this house has not been my priority over the last several years. My priority has been the two houses in New Hampshire. You'll see I don't vote in this town anymore. I vote up in Colebrook, New Hampshire. That's my legal address now. I'm here to winter over for the holidays, and I'll be heading back up. So that upper floor, what I'm calling the third floor in this letter, if you're standing in front of my house, you would look at it and see it as the fourth floor. That was taken into consideration in the last revaluation as per what this woman, what was her name? Carrie, I think, the supervisor over there at Kraus Tech. Yeah, Carrie. Yeah. So we discussed that. So I said, well, if that's what they're talking about, because it's unusable space right now and just used for storage, I've got additional parts of the house that I don't live in. And so what I gave you is two emails, each with pictures attached. Yep. Now, one of them is, I don't know if I gave you the picture, the exterior picture of the front of the house in each email. Let me get to one of the emails here. I've got one of them up. Hold on. Oh.
I've got mostly, yeah, I see one with the arch and there's inside and there's an air conditioner.
So I'm looking at the email with six attachments right now. Okay. Okay, yeah, and the email with six attachments, if you're standing in front of the house, you see the arch door, and then above it you see a large picture window, and above that, trapezoid-shaped windows. Okay, that room above the arch door there, that's all one room. It's cathedral ceiling in there. So there's one floor above that arch door.
Okay.
Okay, now.
Further up, that's just the storage.
Okay. Well, that room right there with the large picture window. Yeah. Now, the dimensions of that room are... If you look at the other pictures, you can see some of the walls are, there's insulation in them. Part of the ceiling is insulated. There's no electric over there. I do have the baseboard heat. It's hot water baseboard. There is a thermostat there, so it doesn't freeze, because I'll keep, you know, there's paints and cans of paints and stuff. But if you look at those, there's other pictures there. Oops, I just... what did I just do? Okay, there we go. Well, let's talk about the other exterior picture first. If you go up to the back of the house, you'll see the door that the entrance to that room, and you'll see the trapezoid windows above that door. That's the view, exterior view of that room from the rear of the house.
Right.
So what I did, I took four pictures, I believe it was, inside the house. Let's see. So, one, two. Four. Yeah, so what I did was I went inside the house, and I stood at the back of the room, one towards... And I went from side to side. I stood near the rear left corner of the room and took a picture facing the front. I moved to the rear right corner and took another picture facing towards the front. Then I went to the front of the room and did the same thing. I stood in the left corner and took one facing the rear and went to the right corner, right front corner, and took one towards shooting back towards the rear. And you can see that that room is just filled with materials. It's with materials for other portions and other projects here to come. And so that room is basically not living space at this point. Now, the way to know which way you're looking, you'll see.
Can I stop you for a minute? We've got a line of people here. I think I understand now. Better from the form that you don't want the appraisal to go up, and you think the whole problem is that the original appraisal that we have is too high because of all the situation you're mentioning. So let us.
Well, not only that.
Yeah.
It's not just that. Okay. There's another issue here too. Okay.
What's the other issue?
Now, I gave you pictures of the two stories on that side of the house, the room right behind the arch door and then the room above it.
Right.
Now, that one room, I believe, let's see.
But it all speaks to the appraisal, though.
I mean, and now the other thing is...
to the appraisal. So I think we have to make sure we have a good appraisal on you for this.
Okay. Now, let me make another point here. This whole virus bullshit has screwed up everything.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I waited several minutes too. You didn't get me on here at 9:20 either.
That's
now,
true.
This whole virus nonsense, you got people coming out of New York, bailing out of states that are so incompetently managed. They're coming all over Connecticut, buying up properties, and they'll pay anything for them. And as soon as this nonsense is over with this virus, those prices are going to go back down. This is an artificially inflated assessment here. And that needs to be taken into account.
Okay. We are taking, you make a good point. So, yeah, we've given you an extra 7 minutes. So I think we're all, even Stephen, I think we have with the photos and the information, I think we're good there. So... let us look into this, especially I'm want to mostly make sure that the appraisal is fair to start with, and then we'll get back to you by the end of the month with our decision, okay?
So you by March 31st?
Yes. Yep. Because we have to get everything in line so that we can adjust a grand list for our whole budget thing. So everything's kind of like connected up like dominoes. So, all righty. And I promise you, we will look into this. May even send somebody over there because it is hard with even with the good pictures to get the full picture. Okay.
And can you just give me your name again so I can know who I'm speaking to and who's in this meeting?
Sure. I'm Judy Shevchuk.
Spell the last name.
S-Z-E-W-C-Z-Y-K.
Okay.
And I'm the chairman of the tax board. And you've got Joe DiMartino in here. He's the president of the Board of Aldermen. And you've got Walter Mayhew, who is our city treasurer.
Juszczyk, I think might have been your son or one of your nephews that worked with me for a while at Boehringer Ingelheim Pharmaceuticals. He was there for a short while, just before I retired.
How long ago?
Well, I left Boehringer in 2005, so we're going on like 16 years now.
Oh,
September of 2005, I left, so 15 and a half years.
Could be. My husband had
John Shustuck. His name is John.
Say again?
His name was John. John Shustuck?
No, I don't think we have a John. There are several Shustucks around, though, so, yeah.
All right.
You would
all
think
right,
a
well,
name like that, you wouldn't find many, but there's more than you would guess, so. All right. Thank you very much for coming through, and we will try to get this straightened out for you, I promise, okay?
All right.
Thank you, Joseph.
Take care.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye. Hello.
I'm doing great. How you doing?
We're just great, too. This is just more fun than you have any way of imagining. You are here on 397 Hawthorne, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. 397 Hawthorne Avenue.
All right. Let me look at your situation. So this is
a single
family.
Yes.
Has appraised at $237,000. They hiked it up to $276,000, which is a 16% increase. And what do you think should happen?
My argument is that I've been doing my homework around the neighborhood.
Yep.
For the same house. I have a few of them here, more than four or five. And the taxes are lower. My biggest concern is is that I'm paying for taxes for property that I have in the back, which I can't use. I don't know if you're familiar with my house, but I got like 18 feet in the back, and then there's a big mountain in the back.
Okay.
And the taxes right now is 7,000 something. Yep. It should be much lower than that.
What would you think would be a fair appraisal of your property?
Well, to tell you the truth, I can't answer that. I don't know. This is my first time doing this, so I don't know. I don't really know. All I know is that comparing to other areas, other houses in the area, I am paying almost double of what a lot of other people are paying. I see 3,000 or 4,000, 5,000, and it's over 7,000 now.
Okay, so your comps you've looked around show about double in tax for you.
Yes.
Okay.
And the only thing that bothers me is that, you know, I'm 61 right now. I'm going to be retiring in a couple of years. I'm not saying that I'm old.
No, you don't look old enough.
Thank you. I love you too. I'm just thinking in a fixed income, I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford that much. You know, I'm just speculating. I'm not sure.
No, I understand. Yeah, I can give you some advice, Albert, as an older retired person myself. There is really no retirement. You just keep doing stuff.
Wow. Man, you're not the first person who tells me that. Yeah. I think, thank God, as long as I have health, I'll continue working, you know, as long as the company allows me to. But that's my main concern. It's just that I've been doing, and it's been fun for a couple of years, but then this year hit hard when I received the assessment, the taxes went up. I said, no, I'm paying too much compared to a lot of other people, you know?
Okay. So we are duly noted, and we'll look around at your neighborhood and see if it's equitable, and then we'll reach a decision and be back to you by the end of the month, okay?
Beautiful. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Is this Miss Pamela James?
Oh, God, I had some technical difficulties. I'm glad you waited.
You're fine. Okay. I don't know if you want to go to an appeals meeting with a shirt that says wild on it, but you're okay.
That's what happens when you work from home.
Okay. Got to set in the tone here. Oh, no. All right. I'm so sorry. Let me see what we got here. You're at 26 Ginetti Drive.
Yes.
Your house was appraised originally from the last time, $473,000. They have bumped it up just a bit to $596,000.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, 26%. And you're thinking it should be more in the line of about $450,000, which would actually be 5% less than it was appraised originally, correct? Is this a fair statement?
Correct. So that's a fair statement. I, as you can see, I hired a reputable assessor to come in and do some assessment. Yep. And then, you know, I haven't done anything to the house since I've moved into it. I haven't even painted it. So yep. I haven't done any. The only thing I did was to pave the driveway. And I don't think that should be. I don't know if that's part of it, you know, but I feel like I came in and cleaned up an eyesore, and now I'm paying the price.
Yeah, really. Thank you so much. All right. So, yeah, I'm seeing the appraisal report, Castiglia. All right. And what did they come out, their whole bottom line? Did they come out to? These forms always have so much information.
450.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So that 450 you put on your initial form was what they came up with. Okay. Well, I have a lot of respect for the people who go and take the trouble to get their own appraisal. It does seem like it went up an awful lot to me.
It did.
So I'm not sure. This is in my opinion, that we need to look into and see why they're coming up with such a large number. Okay. So go ahead. Are you still there?
I'm here. You
okay? Yeah. So what we do is we'll circle around and find why they came back with one that was so much more.
Yeah, maybe it's the beautiful garden that I plant up there.
Oh, well, see, there you go. Driveway and a garden? That's just asking for it, Pamela.
I put the garden in the street.
What are you growing?
I put the cul-de-sac. I plant the flower. The flowers.
Oh, a flower garden. Okay. I thought maybe we had some onions here or something. All right.
No, I have too many deer.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of them.
You grow peppers. Show those deer. Okay, so let us look into this, see if we can do a little better for you, and then we'll be getting back to you with our decision towards the end of the month, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pamela.
My computer is just acting out. I'm glad you waited. Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much. Okay, you too. Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, now I can.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So I think the thing that came in was from Mary. Are you doing this for Mary?
Yeah, that's my mother. Yes.
Okay. And this is Tuheim Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
I have this was appraised originally in $289,000. The reval shot it up 20% to $347,000. And you're thinking that $320,000, which would be 11%, is more in line. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what are you thinking on that?
Well, the main issue here is noise with the farm, which is not a farm anymore. I've been there at least on three other occasions with the same complaint. There's continual noise 24/7. He's got a trucking business, a tree business, a Guidus milk truck, flatbed trucks. I mean, it runs 24/7 and it's not a farm. I mean, I don't see cows and horses anymore. It's just trucking.
Yep. Okay.
If you're on New Haven Avenue, it's a beautiful farm. You coming back, it's a dump. It's horrible.
Gotcha. You know?
It's been the same complaint since I moved back here in 2006. It hasn't changed.
I was going to say, this isn't new.
No, absolutely not. And it's not fair to my parents.
Yeah. And, so have you guys looked into like the zoning? What different measures, or who have you talked to about this, about the noise and the...
I've been to the town and they've come here and looked at it themselves on my lower deck. And they saw the same thing I see.
Okay.
I mean, zoning wise, I mean, it's supposed to be a farm, not a trucking business. I mean,
yeah.
He's been talked to before and he retaliates. You know, he tells my father, oh, he owns part of this property, and he just gets all flippy about it. Mm-hmm. There's no reasoning with him. And he's probably making
good money off his trucks and stuff there. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I work nights, so I'm up till 3 a.m. and I saw two big flatbed trucks start up. It's 4:00. They're rumbling. My window's vibrating in the bedroom. I mean, it's just disruptive. And I don't know what else we can do about it. He's going to do what he wants to do. It's not the Walt High I knew as a kid. He doesn't care.
Okay, well, these are definitely extenuating circumstances, and I'm familiar with this from past times.
Yes, I think I recognize you too.
So let us look into it, because to me, one of two things has to happen. Either if they can't control this guy, I mean, if he's lawfully doing what he's doing, then it has to be a hardship on the price of the land.
Absolutely. They're not going to get
to do something different, then we should see what we can go forward with, something, you know.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, it's much appreciated, but I don't see him complying. Yeah, he hasn't complied. It's been 3 separate years, you know, what, 15 years now we've been complaining?
Every
time.
That's
a long time.
Yeah, it's like we're old friends. Yeah. All right, Diane. Well, I'm going to look into this. We'll all look into it, obviously. I don't know if I, yeah, you can see people. Jody Martinez on here from the Board of Aldermen, President, and Walt Mayhew, our treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a decision by the end of the month, okay?
Okay, you're going to contact my mother then?
I assume it would go through your mom. Would you rather us contact you or?
It doesn't matter. I would contact my parents. That would
okay,
be fine.
Okay, you'll see it. Right. Okay.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Hey, Diane.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Is Lee, L-E-I-G-H. Okay. My last name Cintron, C-I-N-T-R-O-N. Okay.
I gotcha. Could you state your name then for the record and the property that you're here to talk about?
Sure. My name is Lee Cintron, and the property that I own is 217 Derby Avenue, Derby, okay. Connecticut, 06418.
Perfect. And I've got down that... your property was originally, this is a single family dwelling. It was originally appraised at $141,000. They bumped it up 26% more or less to about $178,000. And thinking that a fair amount would be about $163,000. Does that sound fair?
That's
right.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And let's see what you've got in your folder. It's very fat. So we've got some from Silva. Okay. So we have an appraisal. We'll have a market analysis broker opinion letter. That sounds very fancy, doesn't it? All right.
Well, I happen to pay for that broker analysis, actually.
That's what
just
I'm saying. They make it
prior.
Sound fancy. So they can charge
a I know.
That's funny. Okay, so they're the ones and they're giving you that number for the 163,000 more or less, right?
Correct. And if you see on the first page, they just have some comparable, I guess, some comparable properties and sales.
Yeah, we have, you can't imagine the amount of paperwork we have and copies and we're drowning here. Okay, so in a nutshell, could you tell us why you're thinking that the appraisal should only be about 15, should be about half of what the reval was? What would be your main?
Well, I just think, you know, based upon this and, you know, I don't know where, you know, I don't think that I could actually sell that house for the amount that you guys have it appraised for. I actually tried to put it on the market back in like 2019 for some amount, I think even a little above that. And I had no movement, you know, selling wise. So I guess kind of the market analysis that I have kind of speaks for itself.
Okay. I think that's,
you know, and I have a lot of improvements I have to make to the property. So.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's pretty straightforward. And, looking at the numbers, in my opinion, what they came in with is not really far off. It's not an extraordinary number. So I think you have that working for you. Let us look into it, and then we will have a decision and get back to you by the end of the month. Okay, Leah?
Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay, I appreciate you coming in.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, the matrix says 168. She's asking for 163.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Could you hang on 1 second? I'm going to find your thing. You're from Danielle Port, right? Here we are. Okay. And are you Suzanne?
Right here.
Hey, Suzanne. Could you state your name and your address that you're coming before us for, just for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Suzanne Lopez and my address is 5 Danielle Court, Derby, Connecticut, 06418.
Okay, thank you, Suzanne.
You're welcome.
Just a reference, so this is a single family dwelling. Yes. It was appraised in $377,000. They've bumped it up with the reval 19% to almost $432,000. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, it should be actually back at about $370,000, which would actually be a small decrease. Is that fair? That's stated.
Yes. Yes. Well, you consider it a small decrease. I consider it a big decrease.
Well, no, over the, because it was at 377.
Oh, yes, from 377.
No, no, yeah. Not a decrease from the reval, a decrease from the actual existing appraisal from 2015. It's a small decrease from there. So it's actually
I understand.
Going backwards a little bit. Okay.
Okay, doc.
So what are your main reasons on that? Now you say here that it's saying you have central air and you don't?
I do not have central air conditioning.
Okay, and did you ask them to correct that with your when you sent in your letter?
I did write it. I believe I did put it on the I did write it on that form.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Okay.
Property record card says central AC incorrectly. We do not have it. Okay. And you got your deed on here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So mostly you're just saying. You just think it's a price too high.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You want me to, should I wait? I'm sorry.
No, please go ahead.
Okay. So the city has my appraisal at $431,800 and I have an actual appraisal for $371,000.
Yep.
And which I did attach so you can see it.
Yep.
You know, I know it was appraised at by the town at 377. I just don't understand how it went up to $431,800. Like, where did that appraisal come from?
Well, they're basing it on sales, but that's a that's statistically. So each case can be a little different. That's why we have the appeals process. So
okay,
some of them aren't quite right. Some of them need adjusting. So that's what we have is available. So you have your appraisal.
Thank you.
371.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then we have the air conditioning issue as well. Okay, we'll look into this then and see how they arrived at that to see if it was correct or not. Did you have anything else to add, Suzanne?
Yes, I do. I have had no upgrades or changes to my home that would raise the value of my home's assessment, you know, causing the assessment to increase from In 2019, it was $264,040.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2020, it was still $264,040. And then for 2021, it went up to $302,260. And there haven't been any changes to the home whatsoever. We haven't done any upgrades or anything that would have caused that assessment to increase so much.
Well, like I said, this reval this year is not based on people's upgrades. It's based on all the homes that sold in Derby since about three years. And so it's looking at what homes are selling for now. And then that's applied to each home. Like I said, though, it's all just mathematical without them actually looking at your home. So that's why we have the appeals process. And that's why I think need to take a deeper look at yours.
Yes. Well, thank God, because I am really concerned about the amount that it's been increased at, because I did send comparable homes with lower assessments. Did you have a chance to look at them?
I went through them. We have like a stack about 2 feet high of.
I'm sorry. I could imagine.
Yeah. But I mean, we are going to, I have not, everyone's different. For our purposes, it's easier to hear you, and then when we don't have the clock against us, go back through it and do all. By the way, I probably forgot. So you're in the little window. So you see, we also have Jody Martino in here, president of the Board of Aldermen, and Walt Mayhew, the city treasurer. So okay. All together, we're the board. Okay. They just make me talk because that's what guys do. So.
Okay.
But you do it so well, Judy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Hello.
They have a lot of experience, yeah. So we're going to take into account your appraisal. We're going to take into account your comps that you looked at. Take into account that you don't have the central air.
Okay, may I for a second?
Oh, sure.
Just so you, when you look at the comps, and I know you know exactly what you're doing, but when you look at the comps, not the highest from the comparable homes, the highest assessment is 272,000, and mine's went to went to 302.
Yep.
You know, and we do have a pool, and I realize that may make our value a little bit higher, but it seems like ours is so much higher.
Yeah, that's exactly why we have to review it. Okay.
Okay, I appreciate that very much.
No problem. So, and we will look into it and recrunch our numbers, and we'll be back to you before the end of the month. Okay, with our decision. Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye. This must be Scott.
Yes.
How are you today?
Kowski, is that correct?
Yes, Judy.
Very good. And this is who's with you, Scott?
My wife.
How are you, Judy?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So I'm here, and Jody Martino's here, president of the Board of Aldermen, and Walt Mayhew's here, who is the city treasurer. And could you state your name, Scott, for the record, and the property that you're coming to talk to us about?
Scott M. Stringowski. And 25 Prospect Street, Derby, Connecticut.
Alrighty.
06418.
So I've got you down as a multifamily.
Yep.
I've got you down that you had an original appraisal it was originally appraised at $235,300. They are raising, the reval says to raise that 29% to $303,600. And your position is that there should be no change from the original, correct?
My original was 148. When I bought the house from Carmen DeCenzo, it was 148. I paid, they assessed it, I think at like 160, right? It was not bad. So now I'm getting an assessment. Now here's where my big confusion is above and beyond the assessment right now. I refinanced during COVID. March of last year, right?
Okay.
I started it. And I got my rate went from 4.35 to 2.75. When that happened, it jiggled the numbers a little bit. So I receive a Derby tax collector thing saying I owe $7,225. But I talked to Oceanside, my mortgage company, and they're telling me that they dispersed
On July 9th,
they dispersed
$3,612.
361,283, which if you look down should probably be the number you're asking for. On this paper they sent me.
In 2020.
And now they dispersed the normal 4963, which I normally paid, I believe.
On January 4th. They dispersed $4,963. And then last year on July 9th, they dispersed $3,612. So this was January 4th.
The first thing I was trying to get out of the way is my taxes should be covered by my mortgage, my property taxes.
Yes.
Do you see on what you're looking at? Do I owe anything right there?
Because right here, seeing on July 1st, 2020, the first payment that was due, it says here $3,612.83.
That was July 2020?
Yes. But our mortgage company said that on July 9th, they dispersed the $3,612.83.
Okay, so that would be even, 9th. Right?
And now this year on 2021, on January 4th,
our
company dispersed $4,963.
I just talked to him yesterday to make sure these numbers are absolutely accurate.
Absolutely correct. And so right here saying that the second payment that is due on January 1st, 2021, the second payment that is due is $3,612 again, but our mortgage company on January 4th paid $4,963.
That's the part I don't understand, because the payment in July of last year, that would have been your first payment for that tax year. That should have been also...
That was prior.
Yeah, that would have been the one also in January of 2021, would have been in the second half. So that makes sense. 36-12, 36-12. Those are your two halves. I'm not sure where the 4963 is coming from.
Well, that's what we normally pay for. We used to pay. Okay, so.
So that's what supposedly Oceanside Mortgage Company dispersed to you guys on January 4th of this year. I don't know why that number is different from the 3,612. But what we wanted to make sure is that this is something we don't
know. I mean, I don't know. Here's my question. Did the assessment, you just said numbers that like the house were $300,000 or something. Is that what the assessment is?
The assessment that you got, that is for the 21, starting in 21. So that you're not going to see that until July of this year.
Okay.
It could change.
So that's.
Up until now, it should be the 3612 times two.
Okay.
So 24,724. Okay. That doesn't change until past this appeals and on and on and on until the new taxes are
levied. My taxes were $4,900 since I bought the house in 2017 from Carmine. Then, okay, so it's always been that I do the taxes every year so I know exactly what it is. It could, if it was anything different, I know I'm actually, you know what, Lizzie? It was 49 and I think I had to go and put $2,000. Maybe you're probably right, actually. I'm not going to say you're wrong because I think it was 49 and I think I put $2,000 after. So let's say it was close to that number. I guess my question is, Oceanside says I don't owe anything. I'm caught up. Do you see that on your, can you see that?
Well, I would think just from what you're telling me, it seems like you're caught up and then maybe there's a little extra in there for some reason. It looks like there's another $1,300 I'm not understanding. So
okay. You can go out and check your information on the city website. If you go to the tax collector's office, type in your last name, it will bring up, you can either look at your history of payments and see that, or you could also see whatever bills you might owe or have due.
Got it.
Either way. So hopefully that'll help you to reconcile this.
Well, that's what, hold on. I know that because
we just wanted to make sure that we didn't owe you guys anything.
Well, I want
to
make sure that
you got to see what it's like Walt says, you got to see what's on the website, what the city has, and then you got to make sure that works, that reconciles with your real estate company.
Got it.
With your lender.
And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to talk to the tax collector direct. She should be able to provide you with all that information.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, so if I want to check it right now, I want to make sure that, because last time I checked it, the whole reason I got you on the phone is for this. So give me one second. Well, two different reasons. I guess the first reason is this. So let me just check the grant list real quick, right? It's a giz, right? Okay, here we go. I agree. Okay, last name, Stringowski. Okay. 25 Postrick Street, real estate, right? Okay. All right. So, see, it only says principal paid. Okay, it says my payments, but it doesn't tell me. Is that the other house? No. So,
it looks like you still have two payments outstanding for your real estate in 2019.
I should it. That's what I'm trying to say. If there's two payments outstanding, that's what I'm trying to figure out. How is that?
What is that number and how is that possible?
We're the wrong people for that, Scott. That's the thing, is you got to talk to the tax collector.
And figure
that out.
So I guess the next question is that I can talk to the tax collector about that and then they'll probably, so you're saying the assessment won't even hit until July of this year.
Correct.
Was changed.
Okay.
What is that exactly? How much did it go up from 164,000? What is it at now?
It went up 29%.
Wow. And so what is it being assessed for now?
Wait, what's the house being assessed for now?
The appraisal is 303,600. Let me see.
$212,520.
Yeah.
So the taxes that I'm going to get for this year coming up will be against that number.
Correct.
Yeah, but the mill rate is most likely going to change. And in fact, it's going to go down a little. So.
Okay.
But it's not going down by 26%.
No, it is not coming down by 29%. So it would look like your taxes would go up. So Do you have anything you want to add in here of why it shouldn't go up to this much? Are there any hardships on the property over on Prospect or anything going on over there that would affect your the value of your home?
I don't think so. I mean, I have a piece of property across the street that I can't use that's on a hill. I mean, that's not even going up that much that I can really, I don't think I can really fight that. So,
okay.
I mean, I guess, you know, my question
is. I don't have any hardship.
Nothing hardship, right? There's nothing really.
Not anything, not right now.
I mean, it's a roof and stuff, but that's not enough.
No, that's not hardship. That's not hardship. That's called you got to pay money to get your roof fixed.
I mean, I guess.
Very good. Your wife's got it.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned. I don't mind if the house is worth more money as much as I mind the taxes.
Okay.
Right. Let us look into it and see. Just look at some of the comps and et cetera and see. And if there's any kind of adjustment we can make, and then we will send our decision to you by the end of the month. Okay.
Can I also ask you this? I don't, a lot across the street. I mean, since I have you on the phone, I'm going to ask this. I know you're going to tell me, but I'm asking anyway. It's a nice big, right when you come down 34, there's a big hill, okay, right across from the gas station.
Okay.
It's parcel number 002107, doesn't probably matter to you, but its assessment is $9,730. It's useless to me, really. I mean, unless I would the alderman put a sign or something on it, that'd be kind of good to make money. But other than that, it's a residential piece of slotted land that goes down. Now, I pay taxes on that, but it has no real... I guess the assessment didn't go up, though. I mean, I guess there's nothing I can really do about it. I just got to continue to pay whatever it is.
Yeah. What you got to do, Scott, is you got to buy up some more of those properties along there because there is a lot of very cheap property along there on that side. And it would be such a great place. You know, you like scoot it in a little, put up a couple things there.
Can I put signs? Do I have to go to an alderman? If I wanted to put signs there, like billboards, it's at that point that if you were across the thing, I could put a billboard at the Mohegan Sun probably.
I think you would want to check that out first, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So she's saying if you buy a property around it, it'll be a lot easier.
Really?
I would keep my eye open if I were you for other properties adjacent to the one you have over there. Because
okay.
Yeah. I have a friend, he moved now to New York, but he was always watching those. He says, this is going to be a moneymaker someday.
Yeah.
And not only that, with Shelton property tax going up because of all the development, and Sonia, Derby, and anything right around is an easy moneymaker for any multifamily home. So that way you can beat out the Shelton.
This is the
prices.
Person to talk to. She knows it.
Okay.
So you guys got it all figured out. So let us figure out your assessment the new way.
Thank you so much.
We'll get back to you. I got people waiting, so I can't.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll talk to the tax assessor about anything else. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Bye-bye. Take care. All right. Hello, Marianne?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I never did this before. It took me a few tries before I finally tried something else.
It's going to be fine. Are you going to go on video or are you on the phone?
I'm on the phone. I don't know how to do this.
Oh, you're going to be fine. You're already here. We're talking to you. Are you Marianne Minervino?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Could you state your name for the record and the property, address of the property that you're here to talk to us about?
Okay. My name is Marianne Minervino. The property is 287 Sentinel Hill Road, Derby, Connecticut, 06418.
Okay. Thank you very much. Glad you could come by. And it. So this is your very first Zoom meeting?
Yes.
Oh, exciting, huh?
I can't tell you how many times it took me to get in here.
Oh, wow. Well, you made it. So this is a single family home, right?
Yes.
Okay, and it looks like the reval brought it up about 12.5%. What are you, and that's actually quite a bit lower than the sales for that kind of home. So what are you thinking we should set this at, Marianne?
I don't know. Let me explain to you. I'm a school bus driver, and okay. I'm grateful we returned back to work.
But unfortunately,
with only so many hours a day and no work on Wednesday, it's been rough. Trying to catch up, my pay has decreased My light bill has increased an exorbitant amount, and I can't rectify that until my situation is, you know, with my pay gets ahead so I can get an electrician to come in to see why my electricity bill is so high. And I'm only one income household, and things are becoming so difficult, and I don't want to lose my home. Okay. I don't want to, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's why we have an appeals process, so we can look and we can see how we can help you. So can you think of any problems with the property that you want to point out over there? Are you having any issues? Are everything working okay? Besides, I'm sorry for the income.
Yeah. Well, when I first moved in, I did have like about 9 floods down the basement, but then I didn't even realize that I took out, when they sent a bill about if a pipe breaks or something, I didn't realize that I had insurance on that. Oh. So they came by and they fixed the problem. And every time it rains, I go down there and I look and all I say is, thank God, thank you. Cause there's no more floods. So other than that, there's no other problem with the house, except I think I'm paying for the whole block's electricity. That's for sure.
Because that's strange.
If you could see, I don't even have a light on. I have so much natural light in this house. Yeah. And UI set me at a flat rate, $300. And I said to them, you're crazy. I don't even have to put a light on in this house until it gets dark. But they don't want to hear anything. They sent a guy out. He said, I agree with you. Something is wrong. He said, he looked at the meter and he said, I can't go back and tell them that something is wrong. He said, but I agree. It's not that they put a new pole outside. He says, but yes, something is wrong. He said, but I can only go back and tell them that the meter is working. So I said to them,
You don't have anything, because you know electric, what racks up the price the most are things that produce heat. Not so much, I mean, lights do, but it's heaters, electric heaters. And
I have, I get oil.
So you don't have anything you think, because you know, like if your water bill goes up and then you discover, oh, in the second floor bathroom, the water's running all the time. And, you know, so you don't think there's anything hidden there that could be.
No, I have no clue. All I know is down the basement, I've never seen so many wires, and I have no idea where all these wires are going to. I have no idea.
I wonder if somebody could be stealing electricity from you. I wonder if that happens.
I don't know, but my girlfriend's husband came here, and he said, how do you know if someone else isn't hooked up to you? And I said, really? I don't know. He said, because they're a family of 5. They have, I don't even own a computer. They have computers. They have all these games and all this. He says, my bill comes to $85, but they have Eversource. I have UI. Hmm. He says, something is definitely wrong in this house with your electricity. But I don't know. And to give me a flat rate on $300, I said to them, you people are crazy. How could you give someone a flat rate $300?
Yeah, that's a lot. You don't have one of those other carriers involved, do you? It's just strictly UI?
Yes. Yeah, strictly UI. And I said, unless my dog is cooking when I'm not home and turning on the lights, I said, maybe. I have no idea what's going on in this house.
You may be having parties.
Yeah,
parties with the neighborhood. All righty. Okay, so I'll put down for the record that it's just it's an income issue with the COVID. I don't know if we'll be able to help you or not, but we will get back to you before the end of the month with our decision. Okay, Marianne?
I appreciate everything. Thank you.
It sounds
I really do.
Go after that electricity. I think you're going to save more money there than you're going to have on taxes.
Yeah, because a flat rate.
Yes. Based yeah, on that's not right. Lease. That's just too much. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thank you for coming in.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for even taking the time to listen to me.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Be safe. Yes.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right.
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Is this Vincent Palaccia?
Yes, it is.
How are you doing? Could you state your name for the record and the property that you're coming in to talk to us about?
Sure. It's my name is Vincent Palaccia, V-I-N-C-E-N-T, Palaccia, P-E-L-A-C-C-I-A. It's 235 and 237 Seymour Avenue, Derby.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'm Judy Sefcik from the Tax Board. We've got Walt Mayhew here, our city treasurer, and we've got Jody Martino, president of the Board of Aldermen. This is a single family dwelling I've got.
Let her finish.
Oh, is it a multifamily?
Yes.
Oh, I got
and
that.
Also, excuse me, also, my wife passed away, and you still have my wife's name on it.
Okay.
And I was down there. Gloria?
Gloria?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me see. How do I have this wrong? I'm a looking. How long since your wife passed away, Vincent?
What's that again?
About 9 or 10 months ago.
Oh, pretty recent. Yeah, my wife passed last year. It's a rough
time. Year the 18th.
Wow.
And I was down there last year, and I told them that she passed away and removed her name, but they never did, so I don't know.
I'll have to circle back with that. Trying to see. I'm almost there. I apologize.
That's all right.
Trying to see why. Wow, the thing I have in here is Maple Avenue. That's unhelpful.
No. I live there.
See, maybe I got it off of that. Yeah, for some reason, all the information I have in your folder is for Maple Avenue instead of...
what happens is the mail gets mailed to 65 Maple Avenue. All my tax bill, water bill.
Okay, so that's just your mailing address. I gotcha.
Right, right.
Okay, and then this is a... all right, well, we'll sort that out. Okay. Not sure why it's showing up that way. So you said in your thing that you feel the assess is just too high?
Yes, it is. I have a tenant that's been 2 or 3 months and they pay me rent. Plus, I know that the bill, the property went up because people are moving out of New York and moving to Connecticut.
Yep.
That's the only reason why.
Nothing new was done.
Yeah.
But because the COVID is 19, I said, I have a tenant that's been 3 months without family rent.
Wow.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So I can't call them out. These are the rules.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's not fair. I mean, I could say if it was done another time, but this time at COVID 19, I think it's a little hard.
Bad timing. Yeah. Yeah, well, I see. And yours went up quite a bit. It went up 48%. So.
Right.
Puts it in the ones that we want to take a deeper dive into to see. See what's going on.
I didn't do any work to it.
Right.
That's the way it was.
Well, it's basing it on sales. So, and this is right. This is a statistical one. So, with the appeals, we're going to look into it deeper on the individual cases like this. And this was high. This was almost 50%. So, it was a big jump.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. So, we will look into it and then we will get back to you before the end of the month with our decision. Okay, Vincent?
Thank you very, very much.
I'm going to call you or mail you.
You're going to call me? You're going to mail me? See, what happens is, since my wife passed away,
yep.
I never got on the computer because my wife did everything.
Yeah.
So that's why everything I do is by phone or in person.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure to tell them a note that you want a phone call back.
I mean, if you want, I'll give you my daughter's email, which, you know, she's part of she's in a trust and she's my power of attorney. So,
okay.
If you want. You want that?
Well, you're easy to reach by phone, right? We can get you at the same number, the 1-506 number.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can call you. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
And then if they need to send you something written, you can tell them at that time where you'd like them to send it, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very, very much.
All right. Gloria's probably up there on her computer as we speak, probably laughing at you. You know that, right?
Sure is.
Probably wishing she could get you on FaceTime. All right. Thank you very much, Vincent.
Hey, thank you. Stay safe, huh?
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Mayhew, our treasurer, and Jody Martino, our president of the Board of Aldermen. Is Mr. Tanucci on the way?
Yes, they're both here. They're both here.
Here's so you're all there together in a group?
Hi. Yeah, how you doing?
Like a club? Could Mr. Tanucci then give his name for the record? Because we only have him authorized to speak, but as long as he's present, then we're okay. But if he could give his name for the record and the address of the property.
They're muted.
Oh, that's not gonna work.
Ugh. How's that?
There we go.
Okay,
we go.
Sorry.
Okay.
All
right,
Vincent Tanucci, 26 Fairview Terrace, of course, Derby.
We can't hear you.
Here, speak into this.
Right. There we go.
Vincent Tanucci, 26 Fairview Terrace, Derby, Connecticut.
There we go.
And then, so Mr. Tanucci, together with your wife and Mr. Guardiano, you're all going to be speaking to us?
Yes.
All right.
Mostly Vin Guardiano.
Okay.
And
is it Guardiano or Guardiano?
Just call me Vinny. Right. It's Guardiano. Call me Vinny.
All right, Vinny. So for our records, we have that this is a single family dwelling. It was appraised originally from the last appraisal at $257,100. They've raised that a bit, about 71% to $439,000. And the appraisal, I guess that you were mostly took care of, etc., would put it more at like $325,000. Does that sound correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and I see you have lots of documentation and everything here, which I will not lie to you, I did not look at page by page.
That's okay. Not a problem.
So why don't you give us a summary then of what for your amount and what you guys would like to see happen?
Okay. First of all, I just want to clarify something from a technical and clerical point of view. The Tanucci sent something into, I believe, what is it, Tyler? Oh, the reval.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they obviously they complained because it went so high, and they, yeah. And Tyler said, well, send an appraisal and let us know what the problems are. So the Tanucci's hired me to do an appraisal of the property,
yeah.
And they sent it to them, yeah. But they never, and they sent in, a thank you for the correspondence and the receipt that they received it, but then they never sent it to the assessor. The assessor said she never received it. So there's definitely a miscommunication between this revaluation company and the city. Okay. I just wanted to point that out. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Just for the record. Secondly, what I did is I went through the property and I did an appraisal of the property, and it's a large home. Okay. It's a 3,300 square foot home. All right. But it was built in 1928. And what happened, it's located on the west side, of course, and they're almost on the corner, very close to some of the commercial property near Griffin Hospital. And that's a beautiful street. Okay. There's been some activity in the area. Okay. And the problem is, the COVID virus has caused a lot of these properties to go up in value, all right? And they did go up in value. The Tanucci's agree that the property is definitely worth more than what it was on the last revaluation. However, it did not go up as much as the revaluation company pointed out. Now, the reason it didn't go up as much, because when they do a mass appraisal like they do, all right, they're basing everything on square footage. What happens, though, is when you get these older homes, and you know, in that side of town over there, there's what they call a point of diminished returns on the size of the property, all right? If you look at my sales, for example, you'll see that they had a sale just right after the revaluation, so I can't fault the company for not having some of this information. But you have two sales that occurred right on the subject street, all right? And they were all larger homes, All right. There was a larger home on Fairview Terrace that just closed. And I showed it as a listing because the broker wouldn't give me the closing, but it closed and it went for a little bit more than a listing, which was not uncommon, but that went for $355. Okay. It was a colonial style house, which is nicer than Cape Cod style homes. Had the attic. It had 9 bedrooms. It had, you know, 2 slightly less bathrooms. It was a larger square footage, had a 3-car detached garage and a fireplace similar to the subject. Okay. That went for $355. And it was superior to them. Now you take a house like 35 Fairview, which is located right across the street from the subject. That mm-hmm. property sold for $305,000. Now that was a smaller home by about 1,000, almost 900 square feet or so. Now you'll notice that that is a much more functional house because people can handle a 2,500 square foot, 2,800 square foot house. Once you get up over 3,000 square feet or 2,800 square feet, those houses are impossible to maintain. So when you do a mass appraisal and they're looking at this dollar per square foot, they see a house that has 3,300 square feet. It's not going to sell for the same rate as a house that's going to go for 2,400 square feet. Okay. Because of the economy of scales. What happens is when you get over a certain threshold, okay, people don't pay what they would normally pay for excess size because it just is impossible to maintain the electricity, the heating, and so forth. So that's what we call in the business, and I don't want to bore you with terms, but that's what we call functional obsolescence when a property is overimproved for a particular area. All right. And the way we handle a property that has over improvement functional obsolescence is when you make your adjustments for size, you just use a smaller number, like on a per square foot basis, because it hits a certain point and then it's just not as valuable to a particular buyer. They don't pay as much. And that example is shown right on the sales, right in the neighborhood. In addition to that, I look for another older colonial because trying to find something like with this quality and this size and so forth was difficult. But if you notice the old Singer Village property, that sold. He had that on the market for such a long time, and that's on the east side of town. All right. Yep. That property sold for $246,000. It wasn't in as good condition as Tanucci's, but what it did have is probably a superior quality construction, and it was a colonial, so which we took a little bit off for. Had more acreage, okay. It's on the east side, although it did have kind of commercial views, all right. As you know, if you're aware, it's right on the bottom of David Humphrey. It's where Mark Nizzolo built those other houses, mm-hmm. those energy efficient homes. So if you look at that property, that had 4,190 square feet, all right. And I've been in that property, and it's going to be hard to develop. It had 5 fireplaces. And you notice I don't make huge adjustments on these for the excess fireplaces. That's, you know, someone, if you have 1 fireplace, it's good. If you have 2, it's even better. Once you get up to 4 or 5 fireplaces, people aren't paying $4,000 or $5,000 per fireplace extra. Right. And you can see on the selling price of $246,000 for that property because it's going to be hard to renovate. Okay. So our point being is that her house was assessed at 257, valued at 250. I'm sorry, was it? It was at valued at 307. Okay, those houses, they're not just, you know, that side of the town didn't experience as much growth, and because prior to the pandemic, the market was pretty good, but it wasn't as good as it is now. Okay, and that house would have been hard to sell for $300,000 on the west side then. All right. Okay. So that's where we're at. That's where the appraisal is. I believe there was a typo in one of, I'm not sure. I saw there was, it's one said 320. It should say 325 somewhere.
Okay.
Okay. But 325 is the number.
You guys are thinking 325, which would be a 26% increase.
Yeah. I mean, that's a 26% increase. I mean, on that side. And, you know, we agree with that. Okay. Yeah. The house is, you know, it's not a bad house. It's a good house. But it's just the numbers are just too way out of skew. And you know what? I looked on that street. It happened on all those properties. I'm surprised you haven't been flooded with people. Huh. You know, people don't even realize yet. Okay. It's a nice area, but it's not, you know, it's not as good as like being on the east side up the hill or somewhere.
Yeah. We see your point, and you're absolutely correct with the, with your functional obsolescence, with the size and, that's why we're having the appraisal, because it was a statistical reval, and so there's going to be some anomalies.
Sure.
So I think good appraisals, point well taken. We'll look at everything and then get back to Mr. Tanucci before the end of March, okay?
That's fair enough. Okay. Do you have any other questions for them?
I'm all set. Well, Joe, do you have anything?
All set. Good.
Okay, we're good. When you're so well prepared like this, it makes it easy for us.
Okay, well, thank you. We appreciate that. Vin, do you have any questions?
I just wanted to say hello to Joe. Joe DiMartino's there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Joe DiMartino, how are you, Joe?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good, good.
Okay, okay then. That's great. Any questions, Sin?
No.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Jude. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck.
Bye-bye. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
This is Jenna Bonazzoli.
Hi, Jenna. How are you?
I'm sorry?
How are you?
Good, thank you. And how are you today?
I'm fine. This is Judy Safchak. I'm the chairman of the tax board. And we've got Joe DiMartino on here, president of the Board of Aldermen. And we've got Walt Mayhew on here, who is our city treasurer. I have you down for three properties. So
that's correct.
If you could state your name and then just mention those three, then we can go to it.
Okay. I'm Jenna Bonazzoli Beretta, and the property is 23 Factory Street in Derby, Connecticut.
Okay.
And there are, if you'd like me to tell you the three that were in question, we have one that reflects property type real property, account number 1538. We have another one that reflects property, hold on, under Beretta Enterprises LLC, and this reflects property 51863.
All right. Before we get started, Jenna, just a quick question. I think we're going over the different paperwork. I'm not totally clear. Where is your guys' headquarters located and your most of your equipment? I think you have said that it's not in Derby, and we were just wondering where are you guys located?
Well, in other words, we have we operate out of Orange, Woodbridge, Derby, and we have some in Bethany. So it's all over. That's pretty much what it boils down to. But the personal property for Beretta Enterprises is the 5138. No, wait, I'm sorry. That's the Beretta Property Management. The only issue there is a real property question more than anything. On the Beretta Enterprises, which is 51863.
Yep.
They have no justification. We submitted the 2020 declaration of personal property that is in Derby, and there was never anything received as there was on some of the other things saying, and that's why it says here received nothing regarding value, saying what are they valuing based upon that. So I never got that form that I got from some of the other properties. I never received anything. The only thing I can think of is I have filed a lawsuit on prior declarations, if maybe that's why I never got it.
I don't know if that would, how that would affect. It's a complicated one. I will be truthful with you. It's complicated. That's why I wanted, to make sure I knew what's where. We are trying, but.
What I have in Derby, honestly, I mean, most recently has even been stolen. My John Deere tractor was stolen from Derby. So my tax dollars are hard at work, as you can see.
Yep. All right. So on the one, the account 51863, what is your main thing you want to change on that one?
I don't even know what they valued. I filed the 2020 personal property declaration.
Yep.
And it disclosed accurately what I currently had at that point in Derby.
Okay.
And I don't have any idea what they valued. For example, I don't have, let's just go to 24. Where is 24? Give me one second. 21, 22. Well, they go right to 24A, which I have no idea why.
I've seen a loader, a John Deere loader. Is that the one that was stolen?
It wouldn't be called a motor. It's a tractor.
Okay.
And I do still have one John Deere tractor in Derby. I had two. One has been stolen.
Okay. So on that particular property, let's see.
So for 2020, just to be clear, though, I would have paid taxes on both tractors because they both were in the town of Derby, but yep, only for part of the year. The one that was stolen, I only got in, I think, May or June. So it was there, let's say, for the tax period, which I disclosed in the 2020 declaration for that period. However, I haven't received anything from the town of Derby based upon the 2020 declaration I submitted. The last thing I have from Derby is completely inaccurate, which is why I had to file a lawsuit, because it adjusted, it did an assessment that makes absolutely no logical sense whatsoever. There's no basis, nothing they give. They haven't justified anything.
Alrighty. So on this particular property, then you are looking for an explanation. So you just need some information on this one to see what's going on, right?
I've received nothing regarding after I submitted the declaration, what they valued at. For example, on, just let me pull. So on, it's called the change of assessment notice regarding personal property.
Yes.
I got that back in 2019, which is what triggered the lawsuit. And I did not get that when I filed it in 2020.
Yeah, and that may be, like you said, maybe because it's backed up one because of that or something. I don't know. Is there any, do you have any idea of the lawsuit? How is it proceeding as far as time-wise? Is it
It's going
forward?
Well.
Yeah,
it's going well because, you know, we're supplying justification via tax returns and such as to what it is complicated, as you originally stated, where things are. So, you know, something can be even in my, when I say orange, it can be in my garage where I live as well. So it is complicated. And that's why we're trying to be very clear and decisive about what sits in Derby, which is why I accurately filed these personal property declarations. But the assessor proceeded to just, you know, make up some illogical analysis, basically. But the lawsuit's going well. I believe it will be resolved without too much litigation, costing all of the taxpayers much more money.
Yep. All right. Yeah, I wasn't sure how the courts had been affected with all the COVID stuff, whether there's a bit of a backlog or...
It is definitely backlogged. Things are slower than normal. But, you know, because this is not considered like a criminal matter, a priority, but it has begun to proceed.
Okay, good. All righty. So, yeah, I'm seeing for the 2020, I'm not seeing anything going back. So we'll have to check on that.
Okay, so let me just ask one question on the 2020 on that. So you don't have on that particular property, 51863, you don't show a change of assessment notice either.
No.
Okay.
I don't see anything in here. So.
Okay. So
I
then
see,
maybe I
see
yeah.
your 2020 filed. I see all your 2020.
Okay.
That's it. And then I see it. It does refer back to the 2019, which is not our issue at this point. So yeah, it's just kind of like this. We need to see where this stands. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is a little confusing. This one. So I think we can. Yeah. So we need to find out.
Okay.
What's
all right? So it sounds like some further investigation has to be done by the town to provide me with something so we can know the next step on that particular property. Would you agree?
Yeah, and that's the thing of the appeals is if it's not clear, then that's our job to figure out what's what and get back to you before the end of the month. So yeah, I've got that one.
Okay.
And then we go to, you want to do the 1538?
Yeah, hold on. Let me just get that out. Yeah, and that's really, really easy. My only question is...
No, so not when it didn't go up, I'm noticing.
No, no, it didn't. And I'm okay with that. The only thing I had a question on was... Again, wait, where is my... I guess I thought I would receive an analysis or something, and I did not. And okay. I only filed it for the purpose of stating that, again, I didn't get anything about it.
Okay. So you want some feedback or some analysis. Okay.
That's right. I know I stated a lot of stuff in there about the current valuation, and I only pointed that out. The point I'm making is I'm not trying to, you know, say, oh, give me a lower tax basis or anything on that. I just really want to know the analysis so I can just have it for my records. That's okay. Really where I am with that. I only just provided you with some general information.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Okay, so we got that on here too. And then we've got the we have got the Housatonic Landscape, which is the 51880.
Yep, and I have Chris here, so he can further, you know, discuss that. But I'll just give you the quick summary because I'm the one who filed the paperwork. And the way I filed it for 2020, which I think you would see as well, Housatonic Landscape has not been operating as a business for several years since we had a flood there. Okay. So what we've done is over, and I've been filing it for whatever was left there that belonged to that particular business, I've been filing a declaration. Under my accountant's advisement, he actually told me 2 years ago, I should have filed and said, you know, out of business, we've gotten rid of pretty much everything and it's not there from the storm damage. So that's why when I received the notice, which I thought I did for that. Hold on.
Yeah, there's one in there for that. 12,600.
Exactly. And I thought, well, why would they provide that when I just said it's no longer in business in this town?
Okay. So to make it Chris, clear that it is no longer in business, what have you guys done to make sure it's clear that it's no longer in business? What's the procedure there?
Procedure is that we haven't been filing, you know, there's been no updates for the LLC. There's nothing left in the town related to that business. So, I mean, you know, there's not much more you can do for a small business like that. Right. It doesn't, you could look at the, it's not disclosed in any tax returns.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like, I know the banks tell you, because I do a lot of political campaigns and then I always try to close accounts and they say, well, if you don't put any money in there, it's closed, but it's kind of a de facto kind of thing. So, there may be some.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And the truth is, we were hoping to reactivate it in the town of Derby. At this point, because I'm sure you know we're doing other things as soon as the town gets it together, we have not done that. So therefore, we will reactivate it, but it will not be likely at that location.
Okay. And that's way beyond my pay grade there. What? How this affects everything. So I made notes on that.
Okay.
Joe, do you guys have any questions? And Chris is there, right? Can Chris speak up to make sure he was there?
Chris, come over here so she can. Yeah, he's right here. He can.
He's right here.
Yeah, can you state your name and which
name
property?
Okay, Christopher Beretta at 23 Factory Street, Derby, Connecticut.
And you were appealing for the Housatonic Land Supply, the 51880, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Any questions from Walt or Joe?
No, I would just, hello. I just would say, I guess I'll wait to hear from you guys so we know what's the next step, correct? On, I think really only, like I said, more justification on one and then the personal property one, where that stands.
Yeah, and I made note of all that. So, yeah, we should have everything together towards the end of the month. So, hopefully, we can get you updated then. Okay.
Okay, that sounds great. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Jenna.
Thank you. Take care. Bye, guys.
Take care.
Go ahead.
May I hear a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Motion by Walt.
Second.
Second by Judy Martino. So we will adjourn the session at 11:49. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for all your.